I know that I can't necessarily be consistent on a daily basis, but if I can plan a little bit more ahead of time and I bulk things and get things done mm-hmm. so it appears like it's on a daily basis, but it's more me doing bulk chores on the times that I'm feeling full of energy and ready to go, then we are still getting the benefits of momentum by using consistency, but we're interpreting consistency in a little different way. So really understanding how we work and the way consistency can apply to our lives will help us understand the kind of momentum that we can create in whatever project we're doing.
I'm thrilled to be talking with Elle today about simple ways to develop consistent momentum in our lives. The beauty of these growth tips is that science has proven that building momentum is like taking a magical energy pill. And who wouldn't want that? You'll learn about the time-tested benefits of anchoring your habits, building confidence, and getting a dopamine buzz with every success. Keep an eye on Facebook and Instagram at Power Adulting for updates on our book and awesome upcoming news.
The Power Adulting Podcast, where we are hunting down the experiences, struggles, and golden nuggets of wisdom from our helpful guests. Stay tuned for an exciting weekly adventure that uncovers practical tips, tools, and tactics to get you from stuck in the muck to smashing your way through life's toughest roadblocks. Happy Thursday, Power Adulting Podcast listeners. Well, we've decided to switch things up for the month of May, so stay tuned for an episode diving into our second big theme that many of our past guests have emphasized. If today is the first time you have discovered our show, new episodes release every Thursday, so don't forget to hit subscribe. And if you hear something you like or learn something new, we'd so appreciate it if you left us a rate and review. Because today we are talking all about momentum. Because motivation is what starts us off in our individual races, but momentum is what keeps us going. I know firsthand how easy it is to fall off the bandwagon, whether that's a morning routine, exercise routine, or anything in between. But the one thing I've realized after talking with so many insightful guests and failing to maintain momentum a bajillion times in my own life is that it's much easier to keep something going than it is to build up the motivation to start it back up again. So let's talk about some ways to build momentum and self-confidence in our everyday lives.
Momentum is, you know, it's easy to keep going, hard to get started. So last week, we talked about the younger L and you know, how you weren't really into much of routines and planning and that sort of thing. But people can go back to episode number 83 on self-care and learn a little bit more about that. I want to move forward today with a few strategies we can use to build better habits. And I thought a great place to start, since we have done interviews with, you know, almost 100 different experts. Coach Mike Pastore with Fitness for Humans is a big believer in anchoring habits to previous wins. Can you explain that a little bit and share your thoughts on how that relates to your life?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, it's really interesting that Mike Pastore brought this up. Oh my gosh, it had to have been about a year ago. It's been a while ago. And I actually had a similar conversation with my mother-in-law about anchoring within the last couple months, because she had a traumatic brain injury about a year back. And so she's been having to really work hard at developing her executive function skills, making things work more at ease now. And one of the things she brought up again was this word anchoring. And the way Mike described it, and similar to the way my mother-in-law described it, is you want to, if you're trying to form a new habit or you're trying to start something new, you want to anchor something new on something that already exists in your own life. So sure. For example, if when you wake up every morning, you've had the habit of brushing your teeth since the day you were born, right? Little kids were trained to do this. So by brushing your teeth in the morning, that's something that most likely, if it's a habit, you're not going to stray from it, right? That is something that you're going to do. It is stuck in your brain. So if you wanted to add another habit in there, or if you needed to take a medicine, a way to make sure that you do that is to anchor it onto that idea of brushing your teeth in the morning. So you brush your teeth in the morning and you take the medicine that you need to take because it's right next to your toothbrush. It's right there. You're anchoring them together. Or an exercise example here is you brush your teeth in the morning, and then right when you're staring at yourself in the mirror, you do 10 squats or start with one squat, whatever it is, but anchor your new habit, the thing you want to start using, to that old habit that is already concrete and ready to go. So then you start to build momentum, and in a week, you can do 3 squats. In 4 nice. Weeks, you're going to be doing 10, 20 squats a day, depending on what your body is able to do. But by anchoring it to your teeth brushing, you know every morning you're going to brush your teeth, whether you're at your house, whether you're spending the night somewhere else, whether you're traveling, you're always going to brush your teeth. And what comes right after brushing your teeth? That new habit that you want to implement into your life.
Wow, that's super. Yeah, and just so we do, even though it's starting to develop as a habit, we do sometimes fail to continue with it.
Yeah.
The problem is, like you had said, you might move up to, say, 10 lunges, and then you drop the habit for a week. You don't have to go back to 10. I had a psychologist that I was listening to, and he was saying, basically, have a ridiculously small amount of, say, lunges that you do. One lunge. I'm going to brush my teeth. I'm going to do one lunge. That's it. You know, if you do more, great, but don't feel bad if you can't do 10 of them the following week. Just go back to the one and start over again.
I love that. Yeah, building momentum. And before we move away from Mike Pastore, I wanted to bring up something else that I think relates to this idea of momentum. And we talked about it last week in self-care, but it's that idea of having a conflict-free home. I think that ties into momentum, especially if you're trying to build momentum in a health and nutrition routine, like you're trying to exercise more and change up your diet. By having a conflict-free home, you are setting yourself up for success, and you're setting yourself up to continue this momentum. Whereas if I was on a diet and I have a guilty pleasure of ice cream, I probably shouldn't bring the gallon thing of ice cream into my freezer because that is going to halt my momentum. I'm going to eat the ice cream. The next day, I'm going to be like, oh, well, the ice cream's still there. I'm going to eat more. And then before you know it, a week's gone by, you've eaten the whole gallon of ice cream and you haven't stuck with the goals, the habits that you were trying to implement because you had this roadblock, your guilty pleasure that showed up and halted that momentum. So being mindful of the things that you're bringing into your house, that they complement whatever goal it is you have, whatever you're trying to do, so that you can build that momentum and so that you're not putting straight up mountains in front of your goals.
And, you might also not bring in that ice cream that you were talking about, but you could go where you can't go cold turkey and not bring in any ice cream at all. You could reduce it down to single size servings. You mentioned that in the past as well, where you're not tempted to eat the whole, half gallon of ice cream or something like that.
I agree. And another way, and I believe Mike Pastore actually brought up this example, is if you say just want ice cream, that's something that is a part of your daily routine. You can't go to bed without ice cream. We're just stuck on this ice cream thing. If you and your friend or your partner or the people you live with go out to ice cream and get an ice cream cone and you get to enjoy it out, then it isn't breaking your momentum necessarily because you're doing a social activity, you're doing good things for your life and your well-being, and then it's not in your house, it's not tempting you 24/7. So it's, instead of going cold turkey, finding ways to not totally eliminate it, but still
reduce it.
Yeah, not get in your own way.
Right. Yeah, that's great. And you develop your relationship, and that brought it back. You said at the beginning, Mike Pastore was talking about fitness, but I think it relates to a lot of things, which would be, a conflict-free home that you were talking about. It has to do with relationships. It has to do with money. You want a home that is calm and serene. So, conflict-free would be we're not going to be yelling at each other from across the house. house or for money, conflict-free would be things that you could spend your money on versus trying to keep those out of sight, out of mind, I guess.
And I would think something, too, going along those lines, if we're tying it back to momentum, is if, say, you have a family or you have roommates or something where, you know, you're not in total control of the things that are going on in your house, setting up a list of rules, a list of expectations for everybody in your household. Billy Bob is in charge of the dishes, and Sally is in charge of folding the laundry, and little Joey is in charge of sweeping the kitchen, you know, like whatever it is, giving them chores, or your roommates giving. I remember when I was living at my house with my college roommates, we had every Sunday marked off with one of our letters. And so once a month, we would have to do the community room clean. And so it was like, oh, it's my Sunday. I gotta wash down all the counters, sweep everything up. And so it kept the momentum of a clean house because we had laid out expectations in the beginning. And so it wasn't like a, who's gonna do it this week? It was like, oh, nope, it's my week here. It's on the calendar. Okay, I'm gonna keep this up. And so it really helped for a nice flow of things in a household of four different people who have totally different lives going on.
Expectations or boundaries, kind of both of those together. So that's great. Hey, I want to talk about another podcast host that we talked with. Andrew Glover had the Big Things Done podcast. And we had gotten talking to him about confidence. How do you build confidence to achieve these goals long run? And he shared a simple way to build more confidence for achieving your goals in life. Can you describe that a little bit for us?
Yeah. So the way he described it was you want to build self-confidence and momentum. They kind of tie hand in hand by fulfilling promises that you make to yourself. And something I wanted to point out, because I've noticed this in my own life, is we do need to make sure that we understand how we respond to internal and external expectations, because at least in my personal perspective, I have taken this test from the Four Tendencies, Gretchen Rubin. She does this test that kind of helps you understand which of the four categories you belong in. And I found out that I'm an obliger. And when I did, it was like an aha moment. I was like, oh, I understand. And I'll explain what I understood. I just understand how I respond to expectations now. And so this kind of rule that Andrew had was fulfilling promises you make to yourself. Okay, well, problem with that for me is that I am an obliger. And what that means is I respond to external expectations. So if I have a job, if I have a paper, if I have anybody else counting on me, oh, don't you worry. I will be there no matter what, no matter rain or shine, whether I'm sick, dying, it does not matter. If I have an external expectation, just that's how I am motivated.
And I can attest to that.
Whereas if I have an internal expectation, I've done this so many times. I'm like, oh, I'm going to get up at 8:30 in the morning. I'm going to have an hour morning routine. I'm going to make myself breakfast and so much time before my 10 o'clock meeting or whatever it is. Yeah, it doesn't happen. It's never happened. It never will happen. It just will not happen. No matter how much I try, no matter how early I set my alarm, no matter if I have 10 alarms, it will not matter because I do not respond to my own internal expectations. But today is actually a prime example here. I'm not a morning person. Anybody who knows me knows I am not a morning person. 10 a.m. is my morning. And so I had a friend reach out to me yesterday or the day before and said, hey, you want to go on a walk with me this Thursday morning? And I was like, yeah, I can do that. And she was like, what time do you want to go? And in my head, I'm like, 9:30, 10, probably a good time. She's like, I got to do some things at 11. Can we make it at like 8:30? And I was like, sure, I'll try.
If a friend's asking, I'll be there, right?
And I wasn't quite sure if it was going to work, but like clockwork, my alarms went off at 8:15. I laid in bed a little bit, but I got out of bed. I knew somebody was expecting me and I did not let them down. I did not let them show up to that hike without me being there just because I was tired, didn't want to get up. Because somebody else was expecting me to be there, I was there. So I think this idea of fulfilling promises you make to yourself needs to be in relation to how you actually work. So if you're setting a promise to yourself that you're going to go to that spin class at 6 a.m. and you're like me, make sure you get a buddy who is committing to going with you so that you have somebody else who is expecting you to be there. So finding ways to work within your wheelhouse, because if I were to just tell myself I'm going to get up at 8:30 every morning and do this morning routine, I'm going to fail every single morning. And then I'm going to feel like a total failure because I can't do it. Whereas if I figure out how I respond, then I can move forward. And I know that this is the way that my brain seems to work, even though it sounds so unbelievably funky. I know this is how I work. And so I'm going to set up that accountability to make sure that I am there and I'm creating that momentum to get out of bed and go do that thing.
It's so important for us to help you figure out what your tendency is so you know how to make this whole thing work.
Yeah. And Andrew did talk about how that importance of giving yourself a goal. So if your goal is to get to that spin class or your goal is to read a book or whatever your goal is, give yourself a goal, get the accountability you need to do it. If you want to run a marathon, cool. I'm not going to run a marathon by myself, but if I had a friend doing it, maybe I'd do it. But then you also have to follow through with that goal. If you're setting it up, you're getting the accountability you need to actually do it. And once you do it, it's a beautiful thing that you'll begin to realize that there's a lot more inside of you than you might have realized. But each and every one of us need to take ownership of what we are doing and what we aren't doing, because nobody else is responsible for that except for us. So if I'm going to lay on the couch for 5 days in a row, like, no big deal. I can lay on the couch 5 days in a row and that's not going to affect anybody else. But if I then beat myself up over it, why are you a total, you're worthless. You haven't done anything. No, I just need to take ownership that, hey, I needed 5 days. I needed this break. I needed to take time to myself. And now I can pick myself back up and keep going. So just understanding that we are responsible for good and bad, and it doesn't make us a good or a bad person. Just knowing that we are in control of what we do or don't do.
That's exactly right. And adding on that, besides being in control, this doing small things that builds then, as Andrew Glover said, you build little things that you fulfill your promises, and that builds confidence. Okay, I accomplished this. Like you said, I'm going to go on a walk twice a week or whatever it happens to be. I'm going to fulfill this. I'm going to have a friend help me in your particular case. And once you do this little thing, it's amazing how then you have confidence. Man, I could do a bigger project. I could maybe, run a 5K or something like that, or not fitness related in business. You know, I could do a bigger project. I do a little one and then I start off with a little one and then I grow up, I guess, to doing bigger and bigger things.
I love that. And I think it is important for us to take advantage of those little wins and celebrate them, because a lot of times if, say, we're doing a business related thing, or if you're in college and you have a year and a half to go before your degree, it's like a lot in front of you. You're like, oh my gosh, I've got 10 more weeks of this semester. What on earth am I going to do? I don't know how I'm going to deal with this. Instead of celebrating the paper that you just turned in, I think that's really, really important, because if you're focused on the end result too much, then it can be so overwhelming. It kind of defeats us. It makes us feel, it's very disencouraging. What's the opposite of encouraging?
Self-defeating, discouraging.
Discouraging. I was like so off there. But yeah, it's very discouraging when you see all these things that you still have to do, but you can't celebrate what you have done. And so something I've found really helpful for me is making my bed first thing in the morning, straightening up my house, doing dishes, finishing the laundry, those little naggy things that will continue to build up and build up. If I do those first thing in the morning within the first hour or two that I'm doing things, it makes me feel so good. It makes me feel like I'm on top of the world. And I'm like, I just checked 4 things off my list. I am having a super productive day. And then I can dive into the tougher things. But I know everybody does things a little differently. So somebody's order might be like, let's dive into the tough thing first, block out 4 hours, do the toughest thing first, and then do the little things. But it's important to celebrate those little things when you do it, that yes, okay, I may not have finished that essay, I may not have finished that report, but I sure as heck did these 4 awesome things. I took my dog out for a walk. I did this, that, and the other. Like, yay, go me. It's so important to celebrate that.
And these are such simple things as far as pulling the covers over your bed to make it look halfway neat, you know, straightening up the dishes or fully washing them. Little things like that make you feel so organized and so empowered for the rest of your day. It's just phenomenal what little things like that can, how much of a difference it can make.
Yeah, and you use the word feel there, and I think that's really important because certain things that we do and don't do make us feel a certain way. And what I've discovered as I've done a little bit of scientific digging here is that dopamine is actually the achievement hormone, and it drives you to seek reward in achieving goals, and it enables you to take the effort it requires to be successful. So by doing these little things, you're releasing dopamine in your brain that's like, yeah, I'm a go-getter, I can do this, yada, yada, yada. And then it makes you want to keep going and keep being creative, keep doing more and more things, and it builds on each other. That's the beauty of momentum. So starting small, starting with just cleaning off your desk, starting with whatever it is, taking out the trash, whatever little thing that you can do and accomplish and release a little bit of dopamine, that is going to set you up for success moving forward in your day.
Wow, wow, wow. That is so good. You know how I love scientific research. So that is just great. And I want to move on then to a little bit more on momentum. And I think of momentum kind of like compounding interest for an investment strategy. It starts really, really small. It almost seems inconsequential to put $20 into an investment account every month or week or whatever you can afford. It's a really, really small, but it can grow into a huge nest egg over time. And the same way with little accomplishments and achievements, this dopamine just builds. You feel better and better. The depressive things that we feel and see in the world are less depressing. Everything looks better. So I don't know if you have any different perspectives on how to build success, but I just relate it to money and compounding interest.
I like that. I think that's a really like hands-on analytical way of doing it. I still have a hard time understanding the intricacies of compound interest. I understand it as a concept. So if I could apply that to my own life, that would be really cool. You see the number zero go to a million in 40, 50 years, something like that. That is crazy, the amount of growth that can happen just by consistency and giving it time. And I think that is a really big challenge. And for me personally, I struggle with consistency in every area of my life. It's something that I just like to be a little more spontaneous, I guess. Go with the flow, go with how I'm feeling.
Right.
We talked with some amazing woman, Laura Presnell, I believe it was, with Balanced Bombshells.
Yes.
She was talking to us about hormones, and I didn't realize this. I kind of like knew in the back of my head, but I didn't realize that a man's cycle and a woman's cycle are completely different in the sense that a man resets, their hormones reset every 24 hours. Every single day they reset, they're ready to go, good as new. Whereas a woman is on a month-long cycle, depending on when her period is. It could be like 25 days to 32 days, something like that. And so we really do have to, at least personally for me, I have to push myself a little bit harder when I'm having different hormones in my body and I'm feeling different ways. That's why I like to go with the flow instead of giving myself this rigid, consistent routine every single day. I like a little bit more flow, but that does hurt momentum in a sense if you aren't careful. And so really understanding the way that our bodies relate to the actions that we are doing in the world is something that has been really eye-opening for me because it makes me feel a little less terrible about the fact that I have 1 week out of the month where I'm just a go-getter. I'm ready to go. I have so much energy. And then I have 2 other weeks out of the month where I'm just really lethargic, feeling fatigued. And that is because that's the way my body is working. And I think we just need to be mindful of that it doesn't need to be perfect every day. But by being consistent, we are giving whatever project it is that we're doing a chance to grow. And so if that means, like for me, something I want to do is plan a little bit more ahead of time. I know that I can't necessarily be consistent on a daily basis, but if I can plan a little bit more ahead of time and I bulk things and get things done so it appears like it's on a daily basis, but it's more me doing bulk chores on the times that I'm feeling full of energy and ready to go, then we are still getting the benefits of momentum by using consistency, but we're interpreting consistency in a little different way. So really understanding how we work and the way consistency can apply to our lives will help us understand the kind of momentum that we can create in whatever project we're doing.
That's so, such a brilliant thought as far as just understanding where we are in our cycle. You know, you talked about that way you're automating things, that consistency can be automated to a degree because we are going to have bad days and you don't want to have to be, you know, at your top level game on your bad day. It's just not going to happen. So if we automate things, whether it be in finance by automatically putting a certain amount of money, you know, out of your paycheck into your investment account. It's the same thing with our life as far as trying to automate it as much as we can to get the consistency we need.
And I just think back to how stressed out I was when I had a bill going off on this day and a bill on this day. It's so hard to keep track of these things. Like, our mind can only keep track of so much. So I love that idea of finding ways to automate our life in order to still create the momentum, still create the consistency, but take the burden off of us.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so I think that's a great place to leave it. But we're not just going to leave it there. We've got next week, we're going to be talking about limiting beliefs and how they can sabotage our goals. So today we're talking about gaining momentum. Next week, we're going to talk about those things that take us off the rails, off the track.
And I know how terrible self-doubt and limiting beliefs can be to momentum. And it's so easy to fall off the bandwagon. And Dave, like you said earlier, we love scientific-backed studies, scientific-backed habits, scientific-backed activities, ways to improve these things in a way that has been proven and that can be used across the board to implement into our lives. And so we are going to be sharing some scientific-based principles and applications, ways to incorporate things into our lives that can help us take back control of our brains, of our thoughts, of the power that seems to bog us down. We want to flip the script because we have so much more control than we potentially think we do.
That is so cool. I can't wait. So until next week, better your best you, everyone. Wait a second, guys and gals. If you are a recent or soon-to-be grad or know someone who is, then you need to get The Graduate Project, a success guide for parents and new adults. This book will definitely let parents better understand the adulting struggles that students are facing in our ever more complex society, and also help graduates dramatically improve their lives. Go to Facebook, Instagram, or TikTok at Power Adulting for more info on this brand new book release. Elle and I are thrilled you joined us on the Power Adulting podcast. We love helping you and always want to improve. Feedback is essential for us to produce the absolute best show possible, especially in these early days. Could you help us out by doing a quick rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or whichever platform you use? Take a quick pic of your review and send it to us at Power Adulting on Facebook or on Instagram. If you prefer email, the address is contact@poweradulting.com. Either way, Elle and I would be immensely grateful, and we'll list you on our website in the Founding Listener Hall of Fame.
Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you next week on the Power Adulting Podcast.